Oh no, it's the beginning of the end of NHR. How could this be? Oh no, what will expats ever do now?
Whatever, man, roll the intro.
Before I start this episode, I am not giving you any tax advice, I'm not giving you any legal advice, but just a few things to think about. Hello there and welcome back to another Friday night. I'm Rafael Di Furia for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. This week, let's talk a little bit about the recent kind of pandemonium that has come up and about, and I would say not necessarily rightfully so, but not necessarily wrongfully so. I would say more so unnecessarily so. There has been a lot of panic in the expat and potential expat community for people who are interested in Portugal based on what was said in an interview by the Portuguese Prime Minister. And Mr. António Costa said in a recent interview that the NHR no longer makes sense. It's something that existed already since 2009. I believe he also said that 59% of individuals who have stayed in Portugal for 10 years have stayed in the country. Why is that important? So here's the thing. When it comes to NHR to begin with, it is not a permanent tax status. And also, as I think what should be a very necessary clarification is, just because NHR is finishing doesn't mean that visas in Portugal are finishing. That seems to be a bit of a point of confusion for a lot of people out there who are maybe less familiar with some of these things. NHR is a tax regime, a tax status that a person can have while they are in the country once they've come here, if they've never resided in Portugal or they haven't resided in Portugal for a certain period of time. So this includes even people who are from Portugal but haven't lived here for a while and trying to welcome people back. But is the NHR all that it's cracked up to be? Really kind of just saying it in a very basic level to explain what it is. It's basically a flat tax regime that can put a cap on a person's tax for X period of time. This X would be 10 years in this case. So what is being spoken about is that for anybody who's already signed up for the NHR, that it would be continuing, they wouldn't have a problem, but they won't be accepting new people onto this regime. What I'm going to say, though, is that the NHR isn't necessarily the best for everyone. I know some people, including myself, who it's really not necessarily the best option. Even though I do have a company here, from the personal aspect, I could do the NHR, but it would actually push me into a higher tax category than just the regular Portuguese regime. And so there are going to be certain people who, even, for example, say you're living here on your pension. If you are earning a pension on the lower side, and yes, in many countries, an American pension, your Social Security can actually be taxed. So that's something you definitely want to take into consideration. But for some people who are on the lower end, their particular set of circumstances actually may kind of lean in a better direction towards just the regular taxation regime. However, it's not the case for everybody. And so even if you're not earning a ton, but you're still earning enough that it's still kind of maybe even questionable in some parts of the US, it might put you into a much higher tax category here in Portugal. But there's a caveat. There are ways of getting deductions and different things throughout the year, such as, like, for example, when you are purchasing food from the supermarket, or even, I believe, to an extent, even if you're ordering food through apps. Things like that can add up throughout the year. And so even when you're making purchases in Portugal, you'll often be asked for your Portuguese, basically, social. That's not your Social Security code, it's your tax code, because the tax code and the Social Security code are two separate things here, unlike in the States where it's kind of all wrapped up into the Social Security number. But here, while you're in Portugal, when you're making a purchase, at the end of that purchase, you may be asked for Número Contribuinte, or NIF, which is a 9-digit numerical code that is an identifier for you personally. So even when you are going to pay your taxes, that is going to be the identifier, the same identifier. There might be other instances where you'll need it for, like, a bank or maybe something even like a warranty. It just will depend on the set of circumstances, but not everything is going to count as a discount. Not everything is going to help you to bring down your total taxes at the end of the year. But these are things that are really worthwhile thinking about, especially when speaking to an accountant in Portugal and finding someone who has a rough understanding of the American system and the Portuguese system, and balancing between the two is something that I would say is actually very difficult to find someone who, or even a company like a firm that offers reasonable rates. And I have yet to find an accountant in the US or Portugal that offer services that I can say that I would personally be able to recommend. This is why, for those of you who have contacted me asking for recommendations of accountants, even for setting up a company, unfortunately, I'm just in the position where I've been unable to find someone who I would be able to feel confident in being able to pass along their information. Because at the end of the day, if I'm going to be passing along information on something so important as that, I have to feel super, super confident. And so far, unfortunately, I can't say I've found anybody who's met those standards that I personally would have. Because at the end of the day, I think there's a combination between the price that you're paying and the quality of service. And sometimes you can pay for absurdly high cost services, but then customer service and everything else can be some of the worst that you might experience. But getting back to the NHR, in reality, I don't necessarily think that this is exactly the worst thing. And I'll tell you why. If you are somebody who is planning on moving to Portugal soon and you're already kind of in the works and you've already figured out that there is an NHR bracket that works for you and your situation, then that could be absolutely fine. But keep in mind, it's only good for 10 years. So if you're in your 50s, by the time you're in your 60s, you're going to have to deal with the regular regime anyway. Or who knows, maybe in the future there'll be something else that will come up. But still, what we're talking about, even with the, 59% of people who've stayed on past that 10 years, is that number actually a really good statistic to look at? And is it, oh wow, 59% of people have stayed? Or is it, oh wow, only 59% of people have stayed? Okay, there are many reasons why expats will go back to their country. And I will say that Portugal does seem to be one of those countries that I do see a lot of people moving back to their home country from, especially Anglophones. But also, don't get me wrong, I love Portugal. I love living here. I really am enjoying it. And even though I do enjoy it here, as I've said in many episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter, it simply isn't for everybody. And to repeat in what I've said in other episodes is that I do think that Portugal gets oversold and misrepresented as to what people can expect here. There are going to be people who are really going to enjoy living here, but seeing how it's represented in the news, especially like I've been talking about recently, the low cost of living that might not actually be that low, or the quality of life that people are looking for and the expectations that people have, for a lot of first time people living abroad, Portugal can be wonderful, but it can also make people just quickly turn around and move back to their country. Like I've said also, I've seen a number of people just here in Braga who have packed up, left, and gone back to their home country. But I am not saying, though, that it is the majority of people, but I do think that it's very important to take into consideration, what are you earning? What is your specific situation? And this is why I also don't do episodes on taxes, because in Portugal, in the US, in Italy, everywhere, your individual circumstances are going to change your taxation situation completely. And so what's going to be valid information for one person is not going to be valid for another. Do I think, though, that Portugal is worthwhile considering? Yes, absolutely. But of course, I do think that there are other places that for some people could work better. And like I mentioned in the recent episode that I did, I would say definitely if you're thinking about Portugal or other places, be sure to go check out that episode that I recently uploaded. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but if you're interested in seeing that, I'm going to put a card to that up in the corner of this episode here on YouTube. If you're on another platform, you'll have to go look for that, where I talk about other countries to consider over Portugal. But like I was getting at before, if you're coming here in your 50s and you're going to be here and you're into your 60s, that's one thing. But if you're maybe a bit later in life, say in your 80s, and maybe family history, look at how long people in your family have lived and what's likely and how's your own health, without going into details, I'm sure you can get where I'm going with this, that will you be around for another 10 years, I think is actually a very realistic question if you are thinking about retiring. And even if there's only a minimal chance that you feel as though that 10-year timeline could be realistic, then what is it going to be like when you get a bit further on in age and then all of a sudden your taxes jump up in price kind of almost seemingly out of nowhere, even though you've kind of know what you signed yourself up for? Is that something that you're prepared for? Do you have enough that maybe you can put over on the side that will make up that difference over that 10 years that you can save and kind of keep in place? Or do you already have a sum of money that you know you never have to think about working again, and that whatever money comes in doesn't really make that difference for you, then I think that's another situation to think about completely. Because if you're living at just like the edge of your Social Security and kind of what you earn every month, and you don't really have savings behind you, then yeah, of course, having your percentage on your tax jump up, that could be a really big hit for many people. But if you've already got a stash away for a rainy day that you could live on for the rest of your life, then of course, that's a completely different situation. So that's why I say looking at your particular set of circumstances is really going to make the difference here. And are there other countries in the world where, say, if you want to live with lower tax considerations, there are options, but they're not necessarily going to be European options. And even somebody left a comment, I can't remember who off the top of my head, and forgive me for not remembering, but somebody asked from a tax consideration if I could make a list based on the countries, not just of places to live, based on kind of things that are nice about them, but from a tax perspective. And when it comes down to it, and if we're coming up with a list of places that is based solely on taxation, the only three countries that really might be on that list off the top of my head without a ton of finagling going on might be Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and maybe Singapore. There could be other places, but you're going to have to navigate the systems a bit better, and there are less things that are kind of at the surface level that are available to individuals that really are just kind of there off the bat. So am I going to say those are the only places? No, but those are some countries that do have advantages for individuals who are looking to really lower their taxes. Like I said in the beginning of this episode, this is not tax advice. This is not legal advice. This is just some things to think about. There are going to be certain parts of the world where you have to take these things into consideration. And when you're talking about Europe, we're not talking about a part of the world where taxes are low in general, depending on your situation and set of circumstances. But we're also talking about a certain lifestyle that people do look for. And maybe that lifestyle comes at a certain cost, and maybe taxes are part of that cost. And if we're also talking about life in Europe, generally speaking, European healthcare is there and available. Depending on what country you're in, and depending on your citizenship, and depending on your residency, you may or may not be eligible for the national healthcare system, and you may or may not be able to rely on that system. Like, for example, in Italy, the national system is good enough that, yeah, you can use it if you need to. In Portugal, I would also say the same thing. Maybe the access to it feels a little bit more complicated, but the quality of service, I would say, from what little I've experienced and spoken to others about, seems to really be top notch. But is all of Europe going to be like that? It might not be. And even within the same country from one place to another, the quality of services and care can differ greatly. So yes, there are many wonderful advantages to living in Portugal, but of course there are also the realities that you have to take into consideration as well. This is going to be no matter where you go. This is why I'm always talking about, you can't just look at the fluffy unicorns and butterflies and rainbows. You also have to see what the day-to-day realities that you face will be. One important factor that I would say is probably pretty important to take into consideration here is also that this was said in an interview. This hasn't yet been published in any sort of governmental official form. This is just a politician speaking on television. So could this become something? Yes. Is it going to? At this point, it's not certain. Is it likely? Maybe. It could happen, and I do think that there is some decent likelihood of it, but having lived in certain part of the world and also looking at politics around the world, sometimes politicians say things. And so this might be something, it might be nothing. At this moment in time, it's hard to say anything with complete certainty. And with that said, this is where I'm going to round out this episode. So thank you so much for joining me again for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. The biggest thank you to the Patreon supporters who keep this project going monthly, as well as the one-time support through the thanks button here on YouTube, as well as rafaeldifuria.com/support. Thank you also very much for helping this project to keep going. Of course, if you have any thoughts or questions or anything, feel free to leave that down in the comment section below here on YouTube. And as always, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Stay safe and healthy out there, and I'll see y'all next time. Later.